Bible, please, the book of Psalm, Psalm chapter number 68, Psalm 68 tonight with me, if you will. And I want to wish a special happy birthday to Mr. Levi Trask. And he has spent his day in the dirt, under a lull, frustrating, hard, greasy, nasty work. And he chose to do it. He didn't have to, but he chose to. And so I really appreciate that over, above, and beyond. And so how many does this make, Levi? What year is this? How many? 23. And so his 23rd birthday, he'll never forget it and hopes to never remember it, all right? And so he wouldn't take $1 million for his 63rd birthday and wouldn't give 10 cents for another one just like it, all right? So there you go. I want you to turn to the book of Psalm, please, chapter number 68. And I didn't set the theme tonight. I just had this on my mind, and you'll think that we all got together and planned this. I didn't know Brother Locklear's coming. I didn't know I was going to ask Ricky to get up until Brother Locklear said what he did. I had no idea. I give Nicholas whichever one he wanted to do. He could either do the congregational or sing a special, and he chose to sing the special and had the song that he had. Look what the psalmist said. Stand with me, Psalm chapter 68. Look with me in verse 19. Blessed be the Lord, amen, who daily loadeth us with benefits, the God of our salvation. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, amen. Selah. Can we take the rest of the service tonight and just brag on the Lord a little while? That's all, just brag on the Lord. Not something, it's just Him. That's just Him. And I can't explain it, don't understand it, but I sure do enjoy it. Amen? I sure do enjoy it. Let's seek the Lord. Father, help us now as we try to look at the Word of God. Lord, may it come alive and may it bless our hearts. And for every illustration I give, Lord, may you give too. To everybody that's here and everybody that's listening and watching. And Lord, may you bless them real good for having come this way. We pray in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Thank you very much, and please be seated tonight. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. Well, we spend a lot of time doing exposition, but I'm very simple tonight, just a few simple thoughts. But I think that we would be remiss if you read this verse, if you didn't take a minute and say something about the source of the benefits. And really, that's what the whole verse is about. It's about the source of the benefits. The Bible said, "Blessed be the Lord." In your King James Bible, the word Lord is spelt three different ways. Now, it's always got the same four letters, but it's done differently, and it means different things each time. There's little L-O-R-D. That's what Sarah called Abraham, little L-O-R-D. And that was a term of respect. But in your Bible, when you see it capital L-O-R-D, in the Old Testament Hebrew language, the term is Adonai. And the word very distinctly means master. It would be interchangeable with the word master. It would also be interchangeable with the word owner. The master, the owner. And the thing about it is, Adonai is actually a plural word. So, two ways to look at that. There's one God manifest in three persons, just like Elohim is a plural word, the first word for God in the Bible. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. That's a plural word. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And the scripture says, let us make man in our image. Those are plural pronouns. And that represents, of course, we know that's the Godhead. But here, when the word Lord in plural What does that mean, preacher? Well, it would imply not just blessed be the Lord individually, but blessed be the Lord of Lords. That's the implication, the way it's used in the sentence. Blessed be the Lord of Lords. And so much of what was said in Hebrew was understood. So much of the whole language was understood. One word would equal several words. And so, blessed be the Lord. So the Lord of Lords. And so let's turn it right around. So let's say master in the plural. So what is he? He's the master of masters. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the master of masters. He's the King of Kings. And so when you use the word Elohim for God, that speaks specifically of the creation because the law first mentioned in Scripture. And so that's Creator God, and He is Creator God. But I want you to understand when you use the word Adonai or Adonai, the implication is, yes, He created it, but He owns it. He still owns it. He created it, but He still owns it. He is still the owner of it. He's not just the creator of it, but also He's the owner of it. And so He created every human, so He owns every human. You say, well, I don't like that. That's what a lot of people say. And that's why everybody's trying to do their own thing. And that's why there'll be billions spent this year trying to do their own thing, and yet they'll never find that true satisfaction till they come straight up and down, face to face with the fact that God created them, and God owns them. They were created for and by for His pleasure and for His glory, and until they find that place and fulfill that role, they will never have meaningful existence on planet Earth. And so, can I say, blessed be the Lord. So He's not only just the master of masters, hallelujah, He's our master. And He's a good master. And a good master will be with His children through thick and thin. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed. Blessed be the Lord. How do you bless the God of heaven? How do you do that? You make Him Lord. When Simon Peter was in Simon the Tanner's house, wasn't his name Simon? Down in Joppa. And he's up on the roof in a trance at the noonday, and the sheep come down full of all kind of unclean beasts, and the Lord said, slay and eat. And Simon Peter said, not so, Lord. Did you know really that whole statement's not even, that's an oxymoron. I read one writer that said it's either not so or He's Lord. But there's no such thing as not so Lord. You don't correct the Lord. You don't tell the Lord it ain't so. It is so. The Lord told him it was so. He said, take it and eat it. He said, not so, Lord. Can I say it's either not so or He's Lord, but it can't be both in the same sentence. Because if you say no, He's not Lord. When you tell Him no, when you tell Him not, He's not Lord. So there's the source of the benefits here. Blessed be the Lord who. I like that. Blessed be the Lord who. But then think of this. It is common. As a matter of fact, they're saying you better hurry. There's not going to be no Christmas. It's on ships at harbor. Stores are going to be empty. There's not going to be toys. There's all these other things are going to be missing. Costco put buying limits in place yesterday. Sam's has got buying limits in place now. Things are starting to come up short. You can't get things, and that's, we've been talking about that for a while. I can't get nobody to listen, but I'm sorry to say it's happened. And shelves are empty. But we buy things for Christmas. We buy things for anniversaries. We buy things for birthdays, as well we should. And so there's a day of the year, that's your day, that you're born on, and that's when your family, your friends load you with the things and show you that you're loved and say sweet things to you and send sweet texts to you and call you and maybe send you a card and do some things. And all that's good. Isn't that good? But can I tell you that as a child of God, every day is Christmas Day. Hallelujah. Every day is your birthday. How? Because of the sureness of the benefits. The Bible says who daily loadeth us with benefits. Daily. As I said that we've had a tough day today. I had two lulls break within 5 minutes of each other, 10 minutes of each other. But man, if it had been next Monday morning and us with all those men there and all those things, man, we'd have been in a mess. And they ain't nothing to borrow. They ain't nothing to rent. They ain't nothing else you can do. We'd have been up in so much trouble. I want to tell you, as a benefit, the Lord let it break on Wednesday of the week prior. I've got stuff ordered. It should be in here tomorrow. And if it don't come tomorrow, it'll be the next day. And if it don't come the next day, maybe they'll bring it Saturday. But we still have time to get it fixed, is what I'm trying to say. And so I thank God for that. I thank the Lord that it happened like it happened and happened when it happened and all those things. I was getting ready to make a decision today, and I was getting ready to have to do some things that I wasn't comfortable doing up on the property because they didn't have permission, and I didn't. But I was getting ready to do it. I just had to. I had to get ahead of the rain, and foreman for the contractor come over and said, do this, 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 and this. Well, that's what I've been wanting to do for 2 weeks. And he come over and said, by the way, use our machine to do it with. Yours broke, use ours. So daily loading us with benefits. Every morning I've looked at the weather and said, God, you've loaded us with benefits. The little rain that we've had, it's been enough just to keep the dust down, keep us from choking absolutely to death. Been wonderful. I mean, we've had heavy frost, but every morning you dress in layers when you work construction and you're always taking stuff off, you know, and then the sun go down, you start putting it all back on, you know. But you couldn't ask. You couldn't ask for a clearer sky. You couldn't ask for a prettier backdrop. You talk about God loading us with benefits now. I'm just telling you, God has loaded us down with benefits daily. I'm talking about the sureness of it. Somebody said, well, preacher, God didn't. I didn't have no benefit today. Well, I mentioned this. What about all the things that didn't happen that could have? I'm just saying. Could have. Didn't, but could have. And those things most certainly are real. All sorts of things that just about would have, just about could have. Last week, I had a first thing. I'm talking about first thing. Rule number one, never borrow somebody else's equipment. You know, that's rule number one. So I borrowed a piece of equipment that was belonged to the property. And so it's not big enough to do what I'm doing, and I know it's not big enough to do what I'm doing, but I've got to do something, so I'm going to use it till I can get some lulls on the scene. And so I took a little old tractor, probably a 36-horsepower tractor, something like that, with forks, and I picked up a pallet of firewood that we had racked, that same pallet that you saw the girls racking there in the picture. I picked that thing up, and I started backwards with it. Well, as I started backwards with it, I bottomed out, and meaning that I got on the sidewalk and it bottomed it out. And so the fellow that was there on the property said, pick it up. Well, it's a hydrostat. If anybody knows what that is, your brake, your transmission, your gas, all that stuff's in two levers, forward and backwards. That's the only two you got. So when you're running a hydrostat, you don't use the brake. You just use the, because the engine holds it, or supposed to. I picked up that load of stove wood, and when I did, it picked the hind end of that tractor off the ground. The problem is that I was using hydrostatic drive. Here I went, backwards down the driveway. I'm talking about ball hooting. Problem is, it had four-wheel drive, but I didn't have it in four-wheel drive. Didn't think I needed it for it to be in four-wheel drive. If I'd been in four-wheel drive, I'd have been fine. The front tires would have held. It would have been no issue. But as it was, I didn't have a gear one. And by that time, the brake was so far away, I couldn't get it pushed far enough to get that Mohegan thing to slow down. Pardon the expression. And where'd that come from? Couldn't get that Caucasian thing to calm down. I couldn't get it to do it. And they're up in Connecticut. That's right. All the listeners in Connecticut, God help us, all right? And backwards I go and bam! The little black car sitting there, and I hit the back, right on the back door of that thing. Kabam with that tractor. And I thought, oh my soul. But I had no more control of that tractor than the man in the moon. And so I got off, looked at it, saw what happened, put it four-wheel drive, walked the hind end back down, got it up, took care of it. So that afternoon, or I guess it was that afternoon or maybe the day before, I kept waiting for that boy to come that owned that car. They told me whose it was. Kept watching for him. Well, we left before he did. So the next day, I went looking for him. So here's this white guy in this Denali, pulls up on this job, and it's all Hispanics, and they were from all over South America and Central America. And so I'm looking for this guy by name. And they thought, sure, I was ICE or somebody, you know. I mean, they're just confident that I'm somebody that's no good, because no, we know who he is. He don't work here. We don't know him, you know. And so they weren't at all excited to see me until I pulled out $300 cash money, and I finally figured out which one it was and told him I had to get a translator to come down. And I said, I ran into your car yesterday. He said, my car? I said, yeah, the black car, through a translator. And I said, here, I want to give you this. And I said, is that enough? He said, I don't know. How bad did you hit it? And I said, well, it wasn't too bad. Bottom line is, I shouldn't have given him the money, because apparently he went out this weekend and pitched a wing ding, tore the whole right side off that car. You ought to see it. You'll see it. It looks like you have run it against a bridge or something. The whole right side's gone, so he must have tied one on with that $300 is all I can tell you. The whole car ain't worth $300 now. It is just about totaled, I'm telling you. He's still driving it, but what's good about that, preacher? That car was in a lower driveway. I had a seat hopper behind me on the three-point hitch. That seat hopper hit that car and stopped me. It wouldn't take much because I was dragging the load, but it stopped me. I was going over that embankment with that thing, and the ROPS, the roll protection, was down on it. Somebody had pinned it down. I did not have a seatbelt on. I was on almost level ground where I started. Didn't have a seatbelt on. Didn't have the roll cage up. And I run that thing backwards and hit that little car. That car could have saved my life if that tractor ended up on top of me. You said, well, preacher, you hit a car. I did. But you ain't never seen nobody so glad to know there's a car back there in all your life. Because when it went thud, I said, hallelujah, Lord. At least I'm not upside down, laying upside down in the gravel. I'm serious. And I told him the story. And I said, God had your car there in the play. Tried to testify to the guys. God had your car there. I'm sorry I hit it, but God had your car there. It may have very well saved my life. Just don't park there again. And so he hid it from me. He parked on the other side, and he hid it away from me, so I couldn't see the right side that's now missing off the side of it. But can I say there's the sureness of the benefits, the benefit of being born again. Blessed be the Lord who daily... What the scripture says, same verse, blessed be the Lord who daily, look at the phrase, loadeth. See that? Loadeth. Let me tell you about the word loadeth. The word loadeth here is out of place. At least that's what it would seem at first glance. If you looked up the word of the Hebrew language and you understood that what that word meant, it means to overload. It means a burden to the point of breaking somebody down. It means the idea of something heavy, a heavy laden to impose, a heavy laden on a beast or on some person. And so it has, in its normal conversational use, a negative term. Don't we do the same thing to emphasize things in our lives. I never will forget Brother L.H. Mathis up in Little Canada in the tent meeting. Power of God fell. He preached till he got down on his knees. And when he could no longer get on his knees, he started crawling preaching. And he crawled by me and he looked up at me and said, "Preacher, pray it off of me. It's killing me. It's killing me. Pray it off of me, preacher. Pray it off of me." I don't think I've ever had anybody ask me to pray the power of God off of them before, but he was asking me to pray the power of God. "It's killing me, preacher." Do you understand what he was talking about? It was so good he couldn't stand it. He thought his heart was going to bust. Can I say that's the idea behind Lodeth here. Hallelujah. This blessing is breaking us. Man, I got so many blessings, I can't carry it. I got so many blessings, it's making me poor to carry them. Hallelujah. You know the term? You know what I'm trying to say? It's to take a word that would normally have a bad connotation and use it in a good connotation to show just how big the size of the benefit is. It's huge. We use it all the time. We use language like, "Well, I'm starving to death." We're actually not starving to death, but we might be very hungry, but we're actually not starving to death. "I'm freezing to death." We're actually not freezing to death, but we're cold. I'm burning up. Well, we're not actually burning up. We're just a little overheated. But we use that, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's not lying, and that's, matter of fact, the Scripture uses terms that leave open the imagination. Well, can I say to you that the size of the benefits here, it is an idea that illustrates the generosity of the one who laden us. What was it the Lord said about those things? He said, "Good measure, pressed down, shaken together." Is that right? And then what happened when that... running over wouldn't hold no more. Now that's a good measure right there. When you get that much for your pound, when you get that much for your sack, you buying a sack of something, you're buying a bushel of something. When you can't get no more in the basket and it's running off and you keep falling off and you can't get it to car because you got your bushel. I promise you, you got a bushel. Okay? Can I say that's the way the benefits are? Just so many that truth of the matter is that we get so many that they fall off and we forget them sometimes. We don't even realize. We just go through it because they come at us so fast and so strong. Sometimes he loadeth, the Scripture says. Those are the size of the benefits. But then I want you to look at the saints of the benefits. The Bible says, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us." Who's the us? You got to read the rest of the verse, "the God of our salvation." And I'll get to that. But the us in there, that's the redeemed, hallelujah. And that's the saints of the benefits. I don't know how others do it. I don't know how lost people go through COVID. I don't know how lost people go through the whole scare. I don't know how lost people go through disaster. I don't know how lost people go through regular life. I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they do it. I don't want to know how they do it. I can't even imagine not having the Lord to turn to. I can't understand that. I can't understand how some people seemingly just do their own thing, and I don't understand. I don't understand at all. I had something unusual happen. I guess it's Monday night. I had to stop and get some parts. And so I'd been to Lowe's, and phone rang, Bible college, they're all in school, and they just got in, and they run into class, and I knew Levi's back was hurting, so I got a call from the emergency room, and we're doing emergency room transports, and they said, "We got a gentleman, needs a ride, Comfort Inn." I said, "All right, well, okay, I'll handle that one." So I pull out of the parking lot here, and I took off up there. I bit off way more than I could chew. When I got there, I had no idea. This gentleman had fallen. He was trout fishing. He's here by himself just for the night. He's traveling from Massachusetts to Miami. And he swung through the mountains to do some trout fishing in the Davidson. He had read what a good river it was. And he fell. He had waders on. He fell. The waders filled up. And he like to drown. And he tore his knee all to pieces. I mean, he pulled all sorts of stuff. And then he probably will have to have surgery. And so he had ended up at the emergency room. Well, I get him. I'm by myself. I can't figure out how to get him in the vehicle because they got him in a thing and his leg won't bend. He won't fit in the front. I tried. It won't fit in the front. So I end up having to put him in the back seat and lay his feet out all the way across. Well, he had no way to get supper. He said, well, I'll just order something. And I said, you're in Brevard. Ain't nothing to order. I said, you got Grubhub? And he goes, what's that? I said, never mind. He says, any place else delivers? I said, well, you got a pizza. He said, I did that last night. I said, it's terrible. I said, ain't nothing else to eat. I said, no, let me take you down here. And so I went and bought him a sandwich and got him back. Then I couldn't get him out of the car. And then I couldn't get him to the room. And so we like to never got to the room. And I finally got him to the room. He couldn't navigate. And so got in there. Well, I felt compelled to witness to him. And so witnessed to him. And immediately he said to me, I said, have you ever trusted Christ as your Savior? He said, I'm Jewish. Now, I just got through buying him a BLT. But it's under grace, right? And so he said, I'm Jewish. So we got to talking about Judaism. We got to talking about being Jewish. Got to talk about, had some things in common. And I got to share some things with him. And I got to testify to him. Got to witness to him. And it would have taken quite some time to bring him to the place for him to get saved. And he told me, he said, I'm tired. I need. And so he cut it off. So I got as far as I could go with him. But I was in communication. His son flew out of Fort Lauderdale, flew out of Miami coming up. He's in charge of the Everglades Restoration Project. He's the head of it. He's the very head of it, the whole thing. Works for the Department of the Interior. He got an airplane to come straight up here. So the guys got out of school, took the car over there so he'd have a vehicle, and we did all the things. And so we're texting. I'm texting the son back and forth, and we're texting. Last night, he texted me about 10 o'clock. Now, they're home by now. And the son texts me. He said, to have those people that pulled him out of the river when they did there, and a pastor to have you to take care of him, said, you won't believe what a relief it was when my mother found out that a Baptist pastor was caring for her husband, caring for my dad. She said, you'll never know. And said, y'all went far above and beyond. He said, when you see those circumstances that happened in his life that day, it could have been a whole different situation. We could be bereaved tonight. And he said, it makes you think that there might be a higher power. So in other words, secular Jews. Don't even know that there is a God. But you know what? I said, my answer was, God is good. That was my answer. God is good. He's holding that. He's wondering about that. They're thinking about that. You see, I was tickled. I was blessed. I was blessed to get to help him. I blessed to meet him. He told me some interesting things. He'd been to the Holy Land. He was at the Bethlehem at the Church of the Nativity. He was there on Christmas Eve the year that they turned it over to Arab control, back over to the Palestinians, and Yasser Arafat came. And he saw Yasser Arafat go in and out of the Church of the Nativity. He was there. And so we talked about that. We talked about a bunch of things. Can I tell you, sometimes those benefits, we get to share them. Sometimes that us, we get to reach out. Hey, it ain't so we can corral them. It's so we can share them. It ain't so we can stock them up and brag about how many we got. It's so that we can reach out there and do something for somebody. I text the gentleman. See, I had everything. I mean, I knew everything. I had everything. I had the keys to his car. Son, I could have been the biggest swindler ever been. And once I got out, I texted him. And I said, I just want you to understand. I just want you to know that this is legitimate. And you feel free to check me out. You feel free to whatever you need to. And this is what he wrote back, and I've got the text. He wrote back and said, Pastor. He said, and he used the term pastor. Now, here's a Jewish man lost calling me pastor. He said, Pastor. He said, I have no doubt that I'm in good hands, and I trust you completely. He had never seen me before in his life. But just like we as old friends. And I sent him a text when they left out, and I checked to make sure everything's fine. And I said, hey, if you ever back through the mountains, you got friends in the mountains. You got friends in the mountains, look us up. If you ever back through this part of the world, look us up. And I mean it. Why? Because I want him to have the same benefit I got. I want one of Abraham's children to have the same benefit I got. Hallelujah. I want him to know what it's like. To live a life without it, to know what it's like. And the sundown of your life, older than I was, to know what it's like to be the us in Psalm 68:19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us. There's the saints of the benefits. But there's one final thought. There's the Savior of the benefits. The Bible says, load us up with benefits. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Even the God of our salvation. Here we find the word God is El, just E-L. And that's the singular form of Elohim. And so just El, and it's commonly used, El. But here's the word that really got me. Salvation. The word salvation there is the same word that the deliverer of the nation of Israel, Moses' sidekick, was named Joshua. And in the New Testament, it's rendered in the Greek, Jesus. It's the same word. El Yeshua is the phrase. El Yeshua. God understood is salvation. There it is. Why? Why does God take care of his young'uns? Because you committed your trust to him. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. But if the Lord's not your shepherd, you can't say the rest of that. If the Lord's not your shepherd, you can't claim the rest of Psalm 23. It's all based upon is he or is he not your shepherd. El Yeshua. In Hebrew, it's Yeshua with an H. In Arabic, it's Yeshua without the H. El Rab Yeshua means the Lord, let's see, El Rab Yeshua, the Lord Jesus. El Rab Yeshua al-Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, blessed be the Lord. Al-Mubarak, El Rab Yeshua al-Messiah. Blessed be the Lord Jesus Christ. So, preacher, what's all this about? What does it sum up to, this thing of the blessing of being born again? Well, my prayer is for each one of us that God will give us enough happiness to keep us sweet, but enough trials to keep us strong. Enough sorrows to keep us human, but enough hope to keep us happy. Enough failure to keep us humble, but enough success to keep us eager. Enough friends to keep us comfortable. Enough wealth to meet our needs. Enough enthusiasm to make us look forward till tomorrow. And enough determination to make each day better than the day before. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Selah. And that last word, Selah, it means stop and think about it. Amen. It's a pause in the musical refrain. When they would come to that word, Selah, it was like a rest, and there was a pause. And the reason was, it was to emphasize what had just been said. Amen. Stop the music. Something profound's been said. Stop the music. Because something profound has been said. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Selah.